Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. It is Sunday night, January 24th, and my wife and I are here in our living room of our home just to bring you a special warm message and a warm greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to talk about what to do when you're discouraged or when you're depressed, what to do when you are losing your faith, and it sort of seems to be tapering off and you're not quite sure how to get it back. Well, I'm going to give you some tips tonight, and even better than just tips, I'm going to give you God's ways in the Bible of how to encourage your faith and how to build up your faith and really how to keep up your faith when you're struggling with doubt and discouragement. And I believe even the things that I mentioned tonight, the scriptures that I mentioned and the practical steps that I give you will lift your spirits. I believe it will lift you up out of depression. I believe it will also give you things to think about during the week and to walk you through your week so that you'll be able to keep up in your faith. Because having faith can just enable you to move mountains, it can enable you to go forward, it can enable you to do what you need to do, and discouragement and doubt just disables you. So I hope you'll stay with me and watch this message on keeping up in your faith. On your screen there are some message notes, and if you'll go back to that screen where you clicked on this image of me, if you would go back and look at those message notes, I'm going to play a short piece on the piano here and just give you some time to read some scriptures about faith. And tonight we're going to be talking about remembering the things God has done for us, the thing God has called us to do, and the things that God will do for us in the future. So I want you to look at Psalm 77 and Psalm 78, and you'll see two different groups of people. One group who was discouraged and distressed, but they remembered the things that God called them to do. And the other group was discouraged and they forgot what God had called them to do. And you'll see the difference between Psalm 78 and Psalm 77 and 78 when you take a look at it. But if you'll read those passages and just ask God to open your eyes to whatever you might need to hear tonight, take 2 or 3 minutes to just look at those passages. Tonight I'm going to tell you a little bit about some things I brought with me, a grapefruit bag and a little statue and a child's necklace here. And I just want to encourage you with these things that God is faithful. You may not know how I'm going to use these, but you will find out. And God can use some little things like this to encourage you too. Let's look at that passage in Psalm 78 and 77. The three things that I want to focus on tonight are the ways of keeping up in your faith. And the three that I sensed from the Lord that He wanted to say this particular week was, one, remember the things that I, the Lord, have done for you. Remember the things that God has done for you in the past. Two, remember what God has called you to. Remember what He has called you to do right now. And three, remember what the future holds. Remember what's coming up. And the battle of faith really begins in our mind. That's where the doubts come in. That's where our faith takes its biggest hit. Because once Satan gets a hold of your mind, he's got the rest of you. All the rest follows from whatever our mind is thinking, from what's in our heart, what is inside us, and then our actions follow. So if Satan can knock us out right there in our minds and knock us out at the level of our faith, then he's got us. But we can stand up to him by the ways suggested in Psalm 77. Let's take a look at the first way, remembering the things God has done in the past. As you looked in Psalm 77, this was a psalm by a man named Asaph. And Asaph, here he was in a desperate place. It says in verse 1, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. So he was definitely struggling. He says he mused in his heart and his spirit down a little further. He says, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? And he goes on and on saying, has God forgotten about me? Is this ever going to happen? And then look at what he does. Asaph does here. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. And Asaph goes on to remember the great things that he did, performing miracles, displaying power to Jacob and to Joseph, talking about how the waters saw him and were convulsed, and how the skies resounded, how they led Moses and Aaron and the Israelites through the water. And as he remembered these things, you can just see everything in Asaph changing, that he's remembering, yes, God is faithful. God has done these things in the past, and God will continue to do them. And you probably have things in your life as well that you can remember that God has done. Maybe it's been a few years ago, or last year, or a few months ago. But you can remember things if you look back and see what God has done for you. And as you recall those to your mind, it will encourage you that God can be faithful again. And maybe you wonder, well, he did it then, but I don't know if he can do it again. Well, that's the trouble of Psalm 78. If you'll contrast what we just talked about with what happened to the men of Ephraim, this was a group of the Israelites, it says that on the day of battle, they turned their back. They had forgotten what the God had done and the wonders he had shown them. So instead of remembering what God had done, they had forgotten them. And when the day of battle came, they turned their back and ran. It says they spoke in the desert against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? When he struck the rock, water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. So here in the desert, they watched God bring forth streams of abundant water in a dry, dry desert. But the people said, but can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? So it was like they were saying, well, yeah, he did that, but can he do this? And can he do this? And every time God answered, it says when God heard him, he was angry. But he did send meat. He sent them birds to eat from heavens. He sent them the bread of angels. And in spite of all this, it says, the people kept on sinning in spite of his wonders. This is in bold print down farther. They did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. God literally wiped them out because they continued in their disbelief. They continued to forget what God had done for them and not believe that God could take them to the next step. On the practical level, there are a couple things you can do to bring these things back to your mind. One is simply to write them down. if you've never journaled before, or if you've done it before and have passed that off as something in the past, maybe it's time to rekindle that and bring that back up and write down some of the things that God has done for you. Recall them to mind. If you have old journals of things that God has done or other things you could dig through, pictures or times when God was really working in your life, if you'll go take a look at those, go back and look and see how God has worked. See what God has brought you through in the past. And those memories will trigger some faith in your mind and say, yes, God can do this. I do believe He can do what I'm facing now. Also, if you want to share those stories with others, I'd be glad for you to send them to me, and I'll publish them on the ranch. We have a special section called the Hall of Faith, where people can share the stories of how God has been faithful to them, and it actually brings encouragement to other people around the world. We had at one time 800 people coming in to read these stories a month, and that just continues to grow as God continues to use stories like this to encourage others. If you don't have a story of how God's been faithful to you, there are plenty in here. People like Moses and Paul and Peter have written down stories of how God has worked in their lives. The Apostle John said, if all the stories that Jesus did in people's lives were written down, the entire world could not hold all the books that would be written. God is working in so many people's lives every day that John, at that time, 2,000 years ago, said, we couldn't even contain all the books that would be written. God is so much at work, and yet the day-to-day struggles get us down. So the first thing we want to do is remember the past. Remember what God has done for us. And if you need to write it down, if you want to send it in to me at pokey@theranch.org, we can encourage you while you encourage someone else at the same time. The second point tonight is to remember what God has called you to. Now, you may be walking in a situation where it's very desperate and you're just not sure if God's going to pull you through it. And I would say, has God called you to do it? It could be one of two things. One is God has not called you to do it and you're going the wrong way and God wants you to get on a new track. But the other is, if God has called you to do it, God will see it through to completion. I believe that, and God believes that, and it will not be without opposition. Michael Jordan didn't get paid what he got paid when he was playing in the NBA to go and make baskets at the other end with no opponents coming at him. He got paid to do what he did so that he could dribble around and move through and pass and jump and shoot and dunk that ball while all these other people were putting their hands in his face. That's what makes it so exciting to watch him play and what makes him such a great player. That in the face of all that opposition, he is able to move forward with what he was called to do, what he was paid to do. Now, we are called to do things by God, and there may be great opposition come against us. In fact, there was against everyone who was called to do anything in the Bible. But we can press through that by keeping our faith up and walking in trust and obedience to God's word. Now, God has called me to do this particular ministry on the internet full time. And I will just share a couple little things about how I've had to keep my faith up as over a couple years we have continued to try to do this and bring this forth to people. And as we're now in a new phase of doing the live broadcast, I was at one time worried about the funding and how were we going to pay for such a ministry. And one night I had a dream. And in this dream, God spoke to me similar to the way he spoke to Moses and the way he spoke to Joseph and the way he spoke to Abraham in dreams and Joseph, the father of Jesus. And in this dream, I was praying about what God was exactly wanting me to do. And this is what I saw in this dream. It was a letter wrapped in what looked to me like a grapefruit netting, the bag on a grapefruit. And I opened the letter in the dream. And in it was some money, and this place had written and said, I don't know why you sent this money in. We're sending you your money back. Why are you paying to do what other people would gladly pay you to do? And I woke up, and somehow in my spirit, I immediately knew what it was. And the netting represented the net, the internet, and the envelope and the money was money coming back in the form that we could use that and then go and spread the gospel. And God was releasing me from my current job so that I could do this full time. And he was saying, I will provide for you. Now, that may be a strange dream to you, but to me, it spoke volumes. And it answered some questions that were at the very core of what I was called to do. And as we started the ministry, and as we were praying for the funds to come in, and not really knowing where to go for them, or who was going to provide them, or how God was going to lead, we continued to pray. And every 2 weeks I pay the bills here at the house, and I have a drawer where I put the bills in. And I take those bills out, and I take the checks out, and I make the deposits and pay the bills. And we continue to have to trust week to week, day to day, that God is going to provide, just like many of you have to do exactly the same thing, even if you're on a salary. You just never know what the next day will bring. So I share this with you. This is what I had to do. At one point, I was getting very discouraged and wondering, wow, God, are you going to make it this time? Is this week going to be different? We're getting very close to the wire here. And I would struggle in my faith with whether he was going to provide. So I took out a real grapefruit bag off some grapefruit, and I put it in my bill drawer. And every time that I opened the bill drawer and looked and saw lots of bills and no checks to pay them, I would open that and I would lift this up and I would just look at it and I would say, God spoke to me and he said that he called me to do this and he was going to fund it. And so I would look at this, and there was no special magic in this. This is not like a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot or something. It was simply a visual reminder to me that God had spoken. And I would have a peace that came over me, and I would put that back in the bill drawer, and I'd say, I'll wait until the 2 weeks is up. And for a year, this went on last year, and by the end of the year, God had provided every 2 weeks. We received exactly what we needed, and sometimes more so, sometimes right to the wire. But we continued to meet the bills of what we needed to do what God had called us to do. And God said he was going to do it, and the struggle that I had was just in my faith, whether he was really going to be true to his word, whether I had heard correctly. And this gave me a visual reminder. In a similar way, there are times when I struggle with technical difficulties of putting on a broadcast, or I get frustrated when I go out to show someone what's going on and I have to spend 2 hours taking down equipment and 2 hours setting it up somewhere else, and it gets tiring and time consuming. And I have this little statue that my mom had given me years ago when I used to love walking on my hands. And this is a little boy that was excited about life and full of the joy of living. And this reminds me of what it feels like to be free in what you've been called to do. And as a child, you're called to play and just enjoy life. And in this ministry, God has called me to do what I'm doing. And so I actually take this statue with me sometimes, and I'll set it up, and you'll see it here sometimes. And I'll set this up so that when I get frustrated with various aspects of this and get discouraged and get down, I can just look at it and say, you know what? God has called me to do this. He's ordained me to do this from the beginning of the time. And I am going to sense the joy of the Lord and take the joy of the Lord and press on through. God's not going to let technical difficulties get in the way. He's not going to let discouragement and tiredness get in the way. He is going to do what he has promised he will do. And again, this isn't some statue that you would worship. This is simply a reminder to bring back to mind that God has called you to do this. It's very biblical. And people would set up standing stones. They would set up large markers when God did something memorable for them. Joshua would set up a pile of stones to remember that God was faithful. And whenever anyone would look at it and ask, what is that statue about? They would say, these are the markers that God was faithful. He brought us through the river. In fact, these stones came from the center of the river right there when it was dry and we walked across it. And in other ways, when the priests would wear special garments, they had 12 jewels on it for the 12 tribes of Israel to remind them that they were a special chosen people, 12 groups of people that were one nation called Israel. And every time they went before God, they went with that particular outfit that would remind them and remind God of the covenant that was made between God and the people of Israel. So these are simply reminders to us that we can use. Now, you can use anything from a grapefruit bag to a statue to a piano to whatever God has put in your life that might remind you that he is going to do something. Some people just use their wedding ring to keep them faithful to their spouse. I heard a man who said he would never be able to have an affair while his wedding ring was on. If he ever had an affair, he would have to take his wedding ring off, and he would never have an affair because he would never be able to take his wedding ring off because that would be to deliberately break a covenant that he had made with his wife, and to deliberately go against a covenant he had said before the Lord. And so he would look at that ring as a reminder that he needed to be faithful to his wife and to stay with his wife and to never be unfaithful to her. So there are various reminders you might have. Maybe you don't have any particular reminder come to mind right now, but I know one reminder that all of us can relate to, and we see it all over the place. It is the reminder of the cross. Here, even in a child's necklace on a string in a bright lime green is a plastic cross. Crosses are everywhere. People wear them around their necks, they wear them on their shoes, they wear them on their shirts, they put them on their churches, they put them up at their office and at their homes. The cross is a visual reminder of the great thing that God has done for us. And if you can't recall to mind one good thing that God has done to you, you can always look at the cross. Because Jesus Christ, when he died for you and when he died for me, did the greatest thing anyone could ever do for us. In fact, there's no greater thing a person could do than to lay down their life for another person, to shed their own blood. And that's what Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. That's what God has done for you and me. Whenever we look at the cross, we can see a visual reminder of what Christ has done for us, what God's love has done in the world, to destroy death forever, so that we can rise again with Christ one day and be with him forever. It's a great reminder that God is with us. We were this week at a mental floor of a hospital in the psych ward, and a woman who had been plagued with mental problems for maybe 10 years, was it, Lana? 19 years she had had that. She came in and saw Lana with her Bible, and she said, "That's great to have that Bible. I'm so glad you have that Bible. You read that Bible every day. Those are the words of life." And she said, "I've had this problem for 19 years. And she said, "Where is my cross? Where is my cross? I need my cross right now." Now, I don't know what she was going to do with the cross as far as, I don't think she worshiped the cross. But she knew, even in her deluded mental condition, that the cross held power for her. People know that there is power in the cross. There is power in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power to overcome death, the power to overcome any sickness, and God has that power available to all of us. Jump down with me to Romans 8:32. This is a great passage. If you think that God can't do what you're currently facing, he says, well, maybe he did something a few years ago, but can he do this? It says here in Romans 8:32, he, meaning God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God didn't spare his own son for us, God was willing to let his own son die for us, what else would he withhold from us? What more could there be that he would not graciously give us if it was in our best interest? If you're pleading out to God for something, I can guarantee you he will give you that thing or something better. And if he doesn't give you what you're asking for, the reason is that he has something better in mind for you. I believe that with my whole heart, and I've seen that work out time and time again in my life as I see prayers sometimes not answered in the way that I expect them to be, and then I see later that God has an answer that is above and beyond all I could expect or imagine. It will be the very same way in your life with what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter if it's something in your marriage, I've seen it work. Something with your children, I've seen it work. With your parents, with your friends, with your coworkers, we have seen it work in case after case, with finances, with problems with sickness, with problems with frustration, with depression. God can solve all of those problems. He can and will work through those things. And I want to encourage you in your faith to remind yourself of what he has called you to do, what he has put you here for. And if you don't know that, I would encourage you to get in your Bible and start reading. I would encourage you to spend some time every day with the Lord, just some quiet time, and ask him questions and then wait for a response. Say, God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do you want me to do this week? God, what is the purpose for my life? And sit and listen and just say, okay, God, I'm listening. And wait until an answer comes. You may be waiting a few seconds, or you may be waiting 15, 20, 30 minutes. You may be waiting 2 hours. But it is so worth the wait. It's worth getting up early in the morning just to go and spend some time with God and say, okay, God. And as things come to your mind, maybe it'll remind you of a scripture. If things aren't coming to your mind, open the Bible. You can really open it anywhere and you'll see God's love poured out to you. You'll be able to see how other people went through similar situations. And you'll be encouraged that He will speak to you as well. So that's point number two. And point number three is a shorter point, but nonetheless very important. Number three says, remember what the future holds. Remember what the future holds. What has God have planned for all of us in the end? Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ believe that He will come back again. That He will come back and take the believers into heaven with Him forever, to be with Him forever. And in heaven there's no discouragement, no doubt, no despair, no crying, no darkness, none of that. Heaven is light, heaven is life, heaven is joy. It's not a boring place, it's a very exciting place to be. It's going to be a great place. We always have heaven to look forward to. We always have the future that Christ has promised to us to look forward to. Take a look at a couple passages where Jesus has promised us this. John 14, 1 through 14, 1 through 4 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. If you don't know the way to that place, I'll tell you in just a minute. But let's look at one more passage, and that is in 1 Corinthians, about remembering what Christ will do in the future. Every time we take communion, Jesus says we are remembering something. And I want to show you exactly what we're remembering. In one sense, we're remembering His death on the cross. But look at this. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, where He says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup and said, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. When we take communion, we're not only looking back to the past of what Christ did for us, we're looking to the future of what Christ will do for us. He will come again. He has promised He will come again. He will take us to be with Him where He is. And He has promised through this remembrance of communion that we can be assured that one day He will come back for us. We won't see all the answers to our prayers in this lifetime. I know that is a fact as well. But we will see our prayers answered. God will not let your tears go unanswered. He will not let those cries be unheard. He will answer them, and He will bring them about. He is faithful to do what He has promised He will do. Now, if you don't know Christ, some of this won't make much sense, and you won't have anything to stand on whatsoever. You won't be able to remember what God's done. You won't be able to remember what He's called you to, and you won't have any assurance that He's going to take you anywhere. But you can be assured of that right today as you watch this. It's a simple thing just to repent of your sins and say, God, you're right. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I realize that there's a penalty and a price must be paid. And as I mentioned last week on the broadcast, there's a simple way to understand it. There are books being written about our lives in heaven. And in those books, everything that we've ever said or thought or done is recorded. And God does not like some of the things in your book and my book and Lana's book. And He must punish those things. But He loves you. Imagine His hand is you, but He hates what's in this book. How does He punish what's in the book without harming you? He sent Jesus into the world. So when He died on the cross, He took your sins and mine so that now we could come free to God. And all we need to do is believe in Jesus, and he will take us to be with him where he is. I want to pray with you tonight if you want to repent and believe in Christ today, so that you can have that assurance and also you can have the assurance that you'll be with him forever. I want to just sing a song first, though. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then I want to pray with anyone who needs prayer. In fact, let me just pray right now, and then we can all worship together, because I want you to sing this song with me, and I want you to sing it with all your heart. So let me lift off some burdens off you first, and then we'll sing. Lord, I just pray for anyone who is struggling with discouragement, struggling with doubt, struggling, Lord, even with suicidal thoughts, with depression to a magnitude that only you, God, could understand. God, I pray for those who are just facing the normal trials of life and are just frustrated this week. God, I pray for those people who are discouraged in their faith and wondering if you're going to show up. God, I pray right now that you would bring to mind things that you've done for them in the past. Tonight and tomorrow and this week, I pray you would bring those back vividly to their memory. God, through pictures or through words or through them writing it down, Lord, through whatever means you want to use to get their attention, to remind them of how faithful you have been in the past, and you will be faithful again in the future, and you'll be faithful to them this week. I pray you'd bring those things to mind, God, so they could remember them. God, for people who are struggling in what that you've called them to do, God, you haven't called us to a lifetime of one thing, Lord, but you've called us to a daily walk of obedience. And God, if we are faithful to you in the daily things, it will add up to a lifetime. God, for people who are struggling with what they're doing today, this very day, I pray right now, you would encourage them to ask you and say, God, is this what you've called me to do? God, do you want me to do this today? God, what exactly do you want me to do this day? And I pray, God, when they do that very thing, that they would take great satisfaction in knowing that they've been obedient to what you've called them to do. God, bring them reminders, visual cues, if it's grapefruit bags or pianos, Lord, statues or crosses. God, nothing to worship, but something to remind them on a regular basis that you are faithful, that will bring them through until they've accomplished the thing that you've called them to do. I pray you bring those visual cues to them as well. And God, for your future, for those people who don't have the assurance that you're going to come back for them, or they're afraid that maybe they're going to miss out and you're going to come and take the believers and they won't be counted among them. God, I pray that tonight they would repent of their sins. Lord, that they would receive you into their heart and invite you to take over their life and be Lord of their life. Let you call the shots, Lord, for once in their life. And God, that they would believe and have that assurance, just like you say in John, those who believe in the name of the Son of God will have eternal life. Lord, I pray they would have that assurance that John talked about, that they would be assured in their heart of hearts, Lord, that you are their Savior, you are their Lord, and you are going to come back for them again. Because, God, this life has some ups and downs, Lord, but we're not home yet. And, God, when we get home with you in heaven, we will all rejoice. And I pray, Lord, that there are people this very week, Lord, there are people that are watching this broadcast later on, Lord, even months or years later, that have stumbled onto this broadcast, God, that you would not let these words go out void, but you would call people, quicken their hearts to say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus, and that they would do it this very instant, Lord. No greater decision could they make, Lord, for no greater love could you have shown than to send your Son and to allow him to pay the price for their sins. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. I know some of you love to worship, and I want you just to worship with me to the song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Those words are on your screen if you don't know them. I'm going to sing out with all my heart, and if you don't like the way I sing, then I encourage you to sing out with all your heart and to sing even louder than I, and then you and I and all of us can enjoy it. If you want to play this back later and play along with your guitar or whatever you like to do, it's in the key of F. And I hope you'll just have fun worshiping the Lord with me.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. they are theirs. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are theirs. Sing glory. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord.
I hope that gets you going. I hope that pumps your blood, that the Lord is glorious, the Lord is holy, He's worthy to be praised. He can encourage you, He can keep your faith up, and I pray that God will encourage you this week. If you need more encouragement, will you join us in the chat room after this live broadcast, or you can find me later on at the ranch under ICQ, or you can email me anytime at pokey@theranch.org. To find the chat room, just go to any page on the ranch, and you'll click on talk to someone, and you'll be able to click on the chat room and join us there. I hope you'll come back next week to hear more about the glory of the Lord and hear more about how God can work in your life. For tonight, this is Eric Elder and Lana Elder, my great cameraman and blessed wife. I just pray that God will bless you. Good night.